Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out.
Good morning. Welcome in on Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000 with the great Jonathan Hood, Danny Zetterman, Jeff Mellor, J.R. Strauss. I'm David Kaplan. So, who actually made the decision to go to Justin Fields and bench Andy Dalton? Because a few weeks ago, my friend Jonathan, it was on a Monday. Andy's the one, Justin's the two, Nick's the three, Nick Foles. 24 hours later, hey, tell Justin coach wants to see him. Yeah, coach, what's up? Hey, we're going with you. Don't look over your shoulder. It's your job going forward. And then you watch his inability to recognize blitzes. People that are in the league and people that we hear from tell us he can't read a blitz right now. It will come. Remember Patrick Mahomes? What he said, the whole first year I was starting, I couldn't read a defense. But he had all this great talent around him. He's a generational talent. Now it's not working so well, but it did. He said, now I can read defenses. I've learned. So was Matt forced to play Justin? Was it not his call? And, Jonathan, do you think maybe Matt was right that if you want to talk about who gives us the best chance to win today, it actually isn't Justin?
Next Gen Stats says Bears rookie quarterback Justin Fields has been sacked on 14% of his dropbacks this season, the only quarterback over 10%. And since Fields took over as starter in week three, he has had 20.9% of a chance of being pursued 3 seconds after the snap, the highest pressure probability in the NFL. So when I give you that stat of 20% chance of being pursued 3 seconds after the snap, the highest pressure probability in the NFL, there is a problem when it comes to the offensive line and also Justin Fields being able to read a defense all at the same time. That's what that stat tells me. So you have Justin Fields who cannot feel the pressure and also not getting a lot of help as well. You see what's happening here, Cap, is like, yes, Justin Fields, as I said at the time in week three, I told you and I told everybody else that's listening to Cap and J-Hood, I said, if you're willing to go through the growing pains, then have Justin Fields start. If you're willing to deal with this, because it's not going to be rosy. Just because you put a fresh new quarterback in doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be instant success. That's not the case in the NFL all the time. So if you're willing to go through this and watch him learn on the job and struggle with this offensive line and the ineptitude of the play caller, whether that is Lazor or Nagy, you're going to get what you deserve. This is what it is.
So does it benefit him to just keep getting his head kicked in? Like the other day, like I went through some of the All 22, and I'm sitting there watching it back, roll it back, roll it back. Like some of the blocking schemes, it wasn't like guys were getting overwhelmed. Some of the blocking schemes were terrible. Some of the plays, Justin had zero chance. 1.1 seconds, 1.1, bam, hit. Next one, 2 seconds, bam, hit. And then you freeze it and you go, oh, that guy's Velcroed to that guy. That defender's Velcroed to that guy. That guy's open, but Justin's got no chance to be able to step in and get the throw there. So was Matt right that maybe, because you do have a responsibility to the other 50 guys, other than the quarterback room of three, to try and win the game. Does Andy give them a better chance to win the football game?
I would say because he has more experience, I would say yes. But again, to a man and a woman, everyone said you got to play Justin Fields. Nobody wanted Andy Dalton. Before he stepped on the field for the Bears. Preseason, he was being booed, Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, as I've documented many times on this show, all he was trying to do is have a nice resume tape to give to the next team because you knew that he was going to be out next year. That's all he came to Chicago for. Initially, he said, I come to Chicago because I was given an opportunity to start. They said, I'm going to be the starter. So Dalton gets injured, and here comes Justin Fields. Now, again, they could have went with Nick Foles, but here we go with Justin Fields because every TV show, every radio show, every writer says, why aren't they starting the kid? You know Andy Dalton's no good. Okay, so now you get what you get. It's funny that these same TV shows and some of these radio shows are not saying, you know, I think that maybe we made a mistake because no one's going to take ownership for it because it's the hot take of the day. You got to play Justin Fields. Okay, so there it is. With this offensive line and this coaching, and I will go back to what I said in week three, you can start Justin Fields, sure. Who's going to coach him? And who's going to protect him? And how does he learn with bad play calling and a bad offensive line? How's he learn? He's going to get his head kicked in time after time, and we're seeing it right now.
Correct. Like, I know Andy's a competitor. He wants to play. Would it? I'm not saying it is. I'm asking the question. 312-332-3776. Would it have been better for Justin to go, Andy's the one, Nick's the two. Right now, Justin's the three to start the season. And he's going to learn from two veterans who have accomplished a lot in the league. Maybe they're not Hall of Fame talents. They've accomplished a lot. One guy won a freaking Super Bowl MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy went to multiple Pro Bowls. Yes, they are not great players. They are not the future of the franchise. I get all of that. Would it have been better for George, Ted, Matt, Ryan to tune out the matote, as I like to tell you, those thousand voices? You got to play Justin. And we were all saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Let the kid learn. Maybe he would have learned better by not getting his head kicked in.
Well, it's too late now. Horse is out the barn. This is what it is.
You could sit him.
I mean, yeah. And then you really have no direction then. Now you lose the locker room.
I don't know if you'd lose the locker room if you sat him.
Oh, sure you would. And here's why. The one thing that players want is direction. And if the direction is Andy Dalton at the time, fine. Andy Dalton ultimately lost his job because of injury. And that's unfortunate. And the idea that Nagy says that we're not going back, he's going to be the starter moving forward. When you say that, that means you put yourself in a box. That Justin's starter moving forward. Really? Really? So you mean to tell me if he goes through some growing pains or has some issues out there and you continue to lose, you mean to tell me that you're not going to go back to Andy Dalton? He said that. Matt said moving forward, Justin's going to be the guy. You know what? I changed my mind on that too. Let's go back to Andy. Wait a minute. The players in the organization need a direction. You don't put yourself, I'll go back to what I said at the time, you do not put yourself in that box by saying, Justin's a guy moving forward. What about the veteran right there? What about Andy Dalton? What's wrong with Andy? Andy wasn't hurting you as a quarterback. You just get to a certain level. There's a ceiling to his success. When you see Andy, it feels like 8-9, right? But you still could be in the playoffs with Andy Dalton. Absolutely you could. But there's a ceiling to the success. The strength of this football team, for better or for worse, is the defense. What do you think the defense thinks when they see an offense that can't move the football? It's what we've seen all our lives as Bears fans, for the most part. A defense that can get it done and an offense that can't move the football. And so you want to squander another good defense with this? It's the 10th best defense in the National Football League, and they have to sit there and watch this? It's not fair. It's not fair for the guys that actually are playing hard.
312-332-3776. Let's go to the phones.
Horse is out the barn, Cap. I mean, like this is why you got to watch your words and talk to PR about, okay, how should I couch this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? You make sure that you don't put yourself in a box with the media.
But maybe he was put in the box, Jonathan. That's what I'm saying to you. Jonathan, come in here. All right, here's what we're doing. You're going to play the kid, and it's his job going forward, and that's what you're to tell the media. Okay, I don't agree. He's not ready. Danny is not ready.
Right.
We don't care. Yeah. And your job is just develop that kid. period. That's how we're evaluating you. He's not ready, George.
Yeah. Well, when you don't let the head coach coach, then you got even more problems.
That's my point. The whole thing's a blank show up there. It's even more indicting on the... I wasn't in the meetings. We asked a lot of questions. We get to hear certain things. I believe it came above Ryan. I believe Ryan and Matt were in lockstep. We're going to play Andy. We'll get Justin ready. And when he's ready, he'll let us know. We'll be able to tell. That's what they both said. 24 hours later, after that Monday morning, Meller's got the sound.
Yep.
If Andy's healthy, Andy's the one, Justin's a two, Nick's the three.
I remember.
24 hours later, hey, Justin, coach needs to see you in the office. It's your job. What? And even he said, it came as a surprise to me. I didn't see that coming. So somebody got to Matt, and I believe it was George.
It's too bad it wasn't for football reasons.
Right.
Sounds like that was for media and fans reasons.
It was.
We have full phones. You got to play Justin. You got to play the kid. And Matt, to his credit, was like, he's got some things to work on. He's still got some, the whole thing in his head, the offensive line, being able to read. And now what do you see? Again, I'll go back to another topic that we had. I said, Cap, do you think that the Bears are ready for Justin Fields? Because that's the thing that's important, right? It's not that Fields ready to be in the NFL. Are the Bears ready for Justin Fields? Because that's looking at it in an inverse way and saying, is the offensive line ready? Do you have the structure around the kid to make sure that he's prepared? The answer is no. He'll be prepared when there's a new coaching staff in town.
Correct. But should Matt, and again, it's easy for us to say, I don't make $4 million or whatever he makes a year. Should Matt have pushed back and said, no.
It's my team.
If you don't want me to coach your football team, let me know. Give me my checks. I'll leave.
Yeah.
But he's not ready, and I'm not going to put that kid in that position. Because he might have been right. 312-332-3776. Was Matt Nagy actually right when he said, Andy Dalton gives us the best chance to win, and when Justin's ready, we'll know it. 312-332-3776 with Hoodie. I'm Cap. Be right back. Take that.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Made the call to start Justin Fields a few weeks ago. It's your job going forward. That's what Matt told the media and told all of us. He told you, the Bear fan. But was he truly on board with that? I don't believe he was. I'm not sure who he does. I believe it came from above Ryan Pace.
Only reason why, because it was so swift, the change from Andy to Justin.
Correct.
And every morning, Cap and I were coming in, doing the show, looking over our shoulders at our TVs we have in the First Midwest Bank Studios, and seeing TV shows just make fun of the Bears or make fun of Nagy because he cannot explain the Dalton-Field dynamic, or how come Fields isn't starting. And so, again, if you just watch Bears football, you think, well, the Bears are just terrible at trying to handle these quarterbacks. Look around the league. A lot of rookie quarterbacks are playing in the NFL, and they're all struggling. Mac Jones may be a little bit better than everybody else, but, I mean, the point is, though, is that there's always a learning curve. And the same thing with Justin Fields, the same thing with Trevor Lawrence, same thing with Zach Wilson and others, having a hard time being able to adjust from college to pros. It happens to the best of them and the worst of them. And so I believe Fields will pull the nose up, and I think that he's going to be a good quarterback, but not right now and not with this regime and not with this offensive line.
Do you remember how I told you that a guy I went to school with, he scouts in the league?
Yes.
He knows Matt, and he said to me, dude, you got to listen to me. He said, one, Matt is not being stubborn or ignorant or anything. He truly believes he has a responsibility to the other 50 dudes outside that quarterback room that show up and play hurt and take shots and do anything they can to get on the field. And he truly believes Andy Dalton gives them the best chance to win a football game.
Mm-hmm.
That he loves the kid. He was instrumental in drafting him, but he's not ready. And then remember, he almost got killed in the Buffalo preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Same guy calls me, goes, what'd I tell you? He can't read a blitz right now. That goes with being a rookie quarterback. Play the older guy. But everyone in town,
yep,
us included,
yeah,
screaming, hey, man, you got to get the kid on the field. Ryan Clark, Dan Orlovsky, Jeff Saturday, you name it.
Yep.
Rex Ryan. Matt's an idiot. Get him on the field. Play him. It doesn't look so good.
No. There's a steep learning curve. It's even worse when he has no protection.
Correct.
We just read the stats earlier about the things that he's going through right now. And when the best thing the Bears can do is run the football, that is a problem in this vertical league. A league that will help you get to the end zone. This league will carry your offense to the end zone with bad penalties or ticky-tack calls on the quarterbacks or any of the skill position players, wide receivers, tight ends. You sneeze at them. You touch them. You breathe on them. It's 10 yards, 15 yards down the field. So it helps you, right? And so even with that, the Bears can't get the ball down the field, even with help in this soft NFL that we're watching in 2021.
Correct. Well said.
It's crazy, man. Let's
go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Brian's in Buffalo Grove. Hey, Brian, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I love the show. You guys are the best.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
I got to tell you that, you know, I've been advocating that Andy Dalton be the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears ever since they paid the $10 million for him to come to Chicago. You didn't pay for it. I didn't pay for it. The Chicago Bears paid for it. They get what they pay for. Play the veteran and let the rookie learn behind him, just as Pat Mahomes did in Kansas City. You know, I got to say, Matt Nagy came out and he had that plan until everybody, just like you said, including you guys, everybody, the Chicago media, the base media, everybody was advocating for Justin Fields to start. Now, Hoodie, I know that you're a great Justin Fields fan. You know, you're a Georgia Bulldogs fan through and through.
Yes, sir.
You've seen him play. You know how he is. And we all want to see him play, and we all want to see him be good. But what I want to see is I want to see him as a fabulous quarterback for the Chicago Bears moving forward. But let Andy Dalton take the reins of this team from the get-go and let him learn behind him and folds in the quarterback room to get him to where he needs to be, where he can read the defenses. He's not doing that. And you guys saw on that TV show where they said that this is not the right offense for him to be playing in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate the call, man. Have a good rest of your week. Again, this is not to denigrate Justin. Perhaps both things are true. Justin shouldn't have been starting, and Matt's a bad coach. Good guy, bad coaching staff. Not the right group to develop him.
All right. Let's look at it from this scenario. And it's a big what if, right? Mm-hmm. Two biggest words in entertainment. What if?
Mm-hmm.
What if, Cap, that the Bears said, you know what? Justin, you're going to be on the practice squad, and Nick will be our number two. Now, of course, the city would be on fire, right?
Right.
You don't draft a guy that high to put him on the practice squad and never play him. But, I mean, again, it's about the development of the young man. It's not the Justin Fields development is not about today. Or not about the San Francisco game. It's really about the future. Year two, year three, year four. That's what it's about, right? I mean, for me. But what if Foles was the number two? Wouldn't the Bears still be losing with that offensive line and that ineptitude as far as play calling from Lazor or Nagy? See, to me, the offense would still be in the 20s. The offense would not get better. You know, you win some games here or there. It's the NFL. Of course you will. But the offense still was not going to get any better.
Correct.
So, I mean, you could have done that, right? You could have been like, you know what? We're going to put the kid on ice all year. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what Cap and Jay would say. We're going to put this guy in a position where he can learn on the sidelines and develop in year two, year three. Foles, get in there. You're the number two guy. When Andy goes down to injury, Nick, you get in there. And we both know what that looks like. So you might be losing anyway.
Correct. But are you doing more damage? Well, fortunately, he hasn't gotten hurt. Almost did with that hyperextended knee.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tough kid. But now we see Zach Wilson, knee injury. A year ago, Joe Burrow, knee injury. That was far more serious. And he didn't look good when he was playing. Now he looks like an ace.
Yep.
Oh, amazing what another year of tutelage and being a professional where you don't have to go to class, and you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that and that. Just work on football. Amazing.
My hope is that that looks like Kyler Murray or Joe Burrow or some of these second and third year quarterbacks that are developing, rather than for it to look like Tua.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
remember it was tank for Tua?
Yeah.
And now they're talking about trading for a guy with 22 sexual misconduct complaints against him. Not right. sure that'll happen, but we'll see.
Yeah.
312-332-3776. Let's go to Justin on the southwest side. Hey, Justin, what's up, man?
Hey, Cap, Hoodie, it's been a long time since I called. I hope all is well with you guys.
You too.
So, good. So, basically, I just want to comment just the whole situation with the Bears franchise. I've been a Bears fan all my life, and all my life we've been having quarterback issues, which is unacceptable. I know you all say it starts from the top, and it does start from the top. Virginia, you know, maybe she just needs to hand over the reins. I know, Cap, you said that probably won't ever happen, or maybe they need to bring somebody in, a better decision maker, because I'm afraid they're going to go as the lost franchise, the forgotten franchise, because we've been losing so bad.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. That's what I keep saying to Jonathan. And we appreciate your call, Justin. Don't be a stranger. That's what I keep saying to you. Okay, let's assume that Matt's a bad coach. Let's just start with that assumption. Good dude. Guys like playing for him. Not good enough in the NFL. And let's assume they sweep them all out. Everybody's gone. And then let's assume Ryan's not good enough. Out. Who's hiring the next guy? You sure. could literally walk into our conference room, have five finalists sitting around the table, and four of them would be Hall of Famers. Eventual, if you could prognosticate the future, Hoodie, those five dudes there, four of them are going to go to the Hall of Fame in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd find a way, Chicago Bears, to hire the one dude that wouldn't.
Yep.
That's exactly how incompetent they are.
Usually the cheaper and, maybe sometimes inexperienced option.
Or the guy that looks good.
Mm-hmm. In the foursome.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's clean cut. He's got the resume. It sure. says Ivy League or Notre Dame. What about that dude who walked in and isn't in a suit and tie? And you go, he's got long hair. And he may be brilliant. But you don't have the ability to look and go, let's think outside the box. Let's get that guy.
Hey, listen, any company, whether it's Fortune 500, whether it's an NFL team, a sports franchise of any sort, you have every right to hire whomever you like to hire. You also have the right to lose
mm-hmm.
and be behind the times
yep.
and be the mom and pop store. Whole Foods there's Whole Foods across this country for a reason, because it's the top of the top when it comes to grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
And mom and pop looks at the books at the end of the year and goes, what happened? What happened? Why are we losing money? Because you refuse to change, mom and pop. You refuse to change.
Correct.
While Whole Foods is getting better. Whole Foods in this scenario could be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It could be Arizona. It could be some of the upper echelon teams of the NFL. Meanwhile, the Bears continue to spin their wheels as a mom-and-pop shop in this scenario.
Correct. And they keep making the same mistakes over and over again.
Sure.
Because if they fire, let's say it's Ryan, the next guy they hire is going to be Ryan Jr.
Sure.
Who's the next hot name in the league? Bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he going to succeed?
Because that's what they're used to. So that's what happens when you have the same hiring practices. Say Ryan is out. Ryan and Matt are out. It's George and Ted that are making the decisions. You have no football guy overseeing the operation.
Correct.
And that's really unfortunate. But this is where it is. It's a vicious cycle of life when you're a Bears fan.
Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
A vicious cycle of life.
Right.
Watching this franchise do the same things over and over again. My focus now, Cap, is for Justin Fields to get better. It may not be this year, but moving forward, let him be the franchise guy and just build around him. That's what I want to see. I want to make sure it's very clear out there. We're not saying that to push Justin Fields to the side. What we're saying is that we're looking at Justin Fields like every other Bear on the roster and analyzing every Bear on the roster and finding out who's going to be the future, who's going to be the guy that can make a difference now. That's all we're saying. We're not saying that he should be benched or he should be set aside. What we're saying is that think about the scenario in which he became the quarterback. And did the Bears prepare for him? Seems like the Bears were not equipped to be able to take care of a quarterback like Justin Fields.
Well said. 312-332-3776. More on that topic, and we'll play a game of Hoodwinked. Is somebody trying to pull a fast one over on us? 312-332-3776. Caller 10. Right now, regular line, 312-332-3776. You have a chance to win dinner at Lou Malnati's for you and your family next.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app. All right, Cap and Jay Hood listeners, who's ready for a story? Sit back and relax as Jonathan Hood regales you with tales of frivolity. Did it really happen?
We have been hoodwinked.
Who knows?
Bamboozled, led astray.
Who cares? Be prepared to be
run amok and run out to sea.
Hoodwinked.
We don't get fooled again.
All right, Hoodwinked. Love this segment. It's always a lot of fun with my guy, Jonathan Hood. Boy, that music cut off quick.
Well, that's enough. I mean, this is running for a while. By the way, I have a working microphone. Thank you very much. Jeff did that. Jeff, thank you so much for hooking that up for me.
That is not true. I will not take credit for that. Thank you, though, Hoodie.
Well,
thank you, JR.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff, for hooking up the microphone. It's working now. It's not limp as it was yesterday.
Correct.
It's doing a Harry Carey thing in 84.
Look at that.
It's nice. It's sturdy.
Yeah.
It's restaurant quality.
Restaurant quality is right. Okay, so Hoodwinked. Hoodie tells us a story.
Thank you, Jeff.
And we try to guess, is it true or is he trying to hoodwink us? And our caller, where's our caller? Right there. Joe in Franklin Park. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
You ready for this?
Oh, man, I'm ready. I've been ready, man.
All right. You're playing for Lou Malnati's, where you can get the best deep dish, thin crust, the great salad that Hoodie loves there, the cookie pizza, all of it will be yours to enjoy if we get this right. The floor is my partner's.
All right, Joe, you ready, pal?
Oh, man, I'm ready. Let's do this.
Okay, you got to determine whether or not I'm telling you the truth or a lie. Let's see, bars, school. How about an industry story? Radio industry story. These are the ones that Cap likes the most, and Danny.
I do.
All right.
2005 Super Bowl. I'm doing a show. I'm hosting a show in the afternoon with Rick Tellender and Doug Buffone, the late, great Doug Buffone. And I'm told by two bosses at the time in 2005, from Drew Hayes and by Paul Agassi. I'm answering to both of these guys, right? Every day before the show, I have two meetings. One with Paul Agassi, the general manager, and one with the program director, Drew Hayes. So we're going to go to the Super Bowl. We fly to Jacksonville, and Paul and Drew say, hey, have a great time in the Super Bowl. I know you're going to have fun. Have some, you know, get a lot of guests, have a good time. So, okay, that's great. I get a call in my hotel room. It's Paul Agassi. Paul Agassi says, hey, by the way, I know that we flew you down to the Super Bowl, but since Rick Tellender is the lead of the show, we want to make sure that when guests come by, you don't talk. You're not allowed to ask any questions. All the football people are going to come by. You can talk, but not when guests are on. You lay out. And so I was told not to speak. And so what I did is I had a couple of magazines, and I put my feet up on the table while guests came by in Jacksonville at Radio Row. Did not speak for 4 days in Jacksonville. Did that really happen?
All right.
Oh, man.
Joe, this was a guy who was buried at night. And now here he is, and we have all this fun in the mornings. Right. He's been doing his shows for a long, long time. He's a play-by-play man. I truly think, again, I don't know this. I truly believe this story.
Do you really?
I do.
Okay, now I'm going to give you my take. Man, I mean, I see how Hoodie is. I mean, listen to you guys every morning. He is a very, very, very respectable guy. You
yes.
know, I mean, not to say that, you know, not to discredit any guy, but, you know, like he's very, you know, he comes across as a formal guy, you know. And I don't know if I could see him doing that. But, I mean, I'm honestly, I want to go with you, Cap, because I feel like you have more of a solid answer than me.
Okay, so I'm going to make the pick for you, and I'll make you a promise. If I'm wrong, I will call my wife at the next break, and I will get you the Lou Malnati's gift card. Is that you? Hey, got no downside.
That's a deal, man. That's a deal.
So you're going to win either way. Jonathan, awesome. It is 100% freaking true.
Joe?
Let's hear it.
Joe?
It's true. That's my final answer.
All right. Joe?
Yes, sir.
That's a true story.
Correct the mundo. Oh.
No.
Joe, what station just hooked you up with Lou Malnati's?
That was ESPN 1000.
Take that. There you go, Joe. Enjoy, man.
Hang on, Joe.
Thank you, guys.
We'll get your vitals. Hang on a second.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
So how about that, Danny? Danny, hang on a second. Danny? Now, think about this.
Yes, sir, Hoodrow.
So, Danny, think about this. Paul Agassi and Drew Hayes are having meetings with me, and Paul Agassi says, let Rick talk more. And Drew says, you need to be more vocal on the show. You're the entertainment. And he would say that, right? And think about this. This is every day. Two meetings a day before the show. Think about this. This is afternoon drive. Think about that. And then you get to Jacksonville, and the GM says, when you get down there, I'll let Rick handle the interviews. He's the expert. Think about that.
That's insane.
While McNeil, Yurko, and Harry are looking down at me, like from a couple of tables down, and just shaking their head like, hey, you're not get your feet up. Why aren't you saying anything? I was like, well, I was told not to speak. How about that?
That's why you got to have programming people run programming departments.
That's correct.
And you mean not the son of a former Northwestern coach running a radio station?
Wow.
You do know that's Alex Agassi's
yes,
kid,
I
right?
did.
Okay.
I absolutely
did. I always knew I liked Sampras better, Hoodie.
That's right. I know. And I liked Agassi, but it just, like, it's funny. You know, Agassi would walk around the office with a football. He would just walk around, just, like, put it under his arm. And just kind of tossed it up in the air.
Was he Tom Cruise and A Few Good Men with a baseball bat?
I guess he would always have a football in his hand.
Same guy. There you go.
I was told not to speak. How would you handle that, Cap? Like, you know, go down to Jacksonville for the Super Bowl, but don't speak. You're on the show, but you're not allowed to ask any questions.
That'd be a problem.
Yeah.
That is a bold strategy for a radio host.
Exactly. What is this?
All right, buddy. I got an idea here.
Yeah.
You host afternoon radio.
Yeah.
How about this one?
Yeah.
No talking. What do you think?
I push back on the quote-unquote buried at night thing. That's not fair. I'll ask you this. Is Black and Abdallah buried at night?
No, but they're in the infancy of their career, which I think will have a huge trajectory. I'm very much a fan of those two guys.
Well, they're not talking about you, right?
It's like, whatever. I got to give them some programming. But
yes.
After 25 years, I mean, Waddle and I were stuck at night for a long, long time. When we got started, it was great. Eventually, you want to move to the daytime.
I do?
Yes.
Oh.
Way healthier for your life.
Apparently.
Yes.
So to weightloss.com.
There you go. State of the art. The Bulls did something last night they haven't done since 1996. We will get into that in just a moment. Let's grab Curtis out in Farmington. Hey, Curtis, what's up, Sparkles?
Good morning, you guys. It is so good to talk to you guys. I listen to you guys and tweet at you guys every day.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
You.
Thank you, Curtis.
I am going to be on the other side. I am 1,000,000% behind Justin Fields. I think that if the Lions could give him at least 4 seconds to pass, and it wouldn't be so bad, and the receivers get separation, it wouldn't be so bad. These are the highs and lows of the rookie quarterback, and I am willing and supportive of the lumps that we're going to get from Justin Fields. I think that next year we'll be looking on this date on the low of the tape. Remember when Justin Fields was getting his head kicked in and how great he's going to be? And I know you guys aren't denigrating him and everything, but we have to get behind this quarterback. We've been pretty much throwing quarterbacks behind our head and everything because every time something goes bad, and rightfully so, we want to shift to the, whoever's the best, whatever, to get the job done. I am in full support. I know you guys are in full support of Justin Fields. I'm buying the jersey for Justin Fields this week, and I'm willing to go through the ups and downs with him.
Correct, but the problem is you said if we could, and we appreciate your call, Curtis, we could give him 4 seconds. He got hit at 1.1 seconds. He got hit at 2.1 seconds, like one.
Bam.
Two. Mm-hmm. Bam. Mm-hmm. Take that, kid.
Yeah.
Like, but- Four seconds.
Well, it's on him too to realize that, you know, he's not taking on Vanderbilt. Okay, it moves faster in the NFL.
No doubt,
you got defensive linemen that are faster than Justin Fields. And again, for those that did not see him in college, that's not Lamar Jackson we're talking about. Justin Fields is a very good pocket passer that can run.
Agreed.
But again, it's on him. It behooves him to be able to get the ball out, and he will get better. But we have to be able to look at him and not give him a pass, just like we do the rest of the Bears, just like we look at the second-year players and the rookies on this football team. They all have to be analyzed. It's got to get better all around offensively.
312-332-3776. We'll get to more of your calls. And the Bulls did something last night they haven't done since 1996. It's all next.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
DeRozan. What a pass to Caruso.
Oh, AC with the back cut.
Zach LaVine, 4 points all at the free throw line. Here's LaVine for three. Kobe.
Oh, bang, bang, bang.
No foul on the play, a kickball violation. LaVine in traffic. Oh, he still buries a three on a step back. Barnes guarding. DeRozan fires. It connects.
That's why he's here, ladies and gentlemen.
DeRozan away from the screen. Spin cycle again. Do it again!
DeRozan's got spin cycle.
Vucevic posting against Barnes. Three to shoot. Out to LaVine. Deep three. Big one. Got it!
Oh, all the way from Rockford, Illinois. Clear out. Just let him go.
One of the best isolation players in the game. Over Trey. Yes, sir!
Oh, Compton's in the house.
Woo! As my partner says, pull the string on Stacey and you get a great soundbite. Those two are so good together.
Yes.
I'm a huge Stacey fan, and I love Adam Amin. I think he's incredibly talented. So a lot of fun to watch that broadcast last night. I was watching that game going, oh, wait a minute. Monday Night Football's on. I got a second screen. Turn that on.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a lot of fun to watch.
Bulls had the main screen in my hood cave last night. Monday Night Football's on the side. I had it there if I needed it, but... Now I was locked in that Bulls game, and I'm happy for the Bulls. 4-0.
Completely agree with you. First time since 96-97 season that the Chicago Bulls have started a season 4-0. But they had a big lead. They were cruising. And all of a sudden, some turnovers, some rushed shots, some missed shots. Those will happen. Zach LaVine wasn't entirely thrilled, even though it's the first 4-game winning streak of his entire pro career. Here he is on NBC Sports Chicago on the post-game show with Adam Amin and Stacey King.
Zach, this is the first true test of the season that you guys received. How do you feel you guys responded late in this game?
We didn't do our job late. You know, a win's a win, and we'll take it. But, you know, we were controlling most of the game after the first quarter. And, you know, we let them play themselves back into the game. You know, they start getting a lot more physical. They start driving us. And, you know, I think we have to work better at that, closing out the game, because, you know, it definitely should have ended with a one-possession game at the end with a chance to tie it.
Well, Zach, this is a new situation, you know, for you, this team from last year. This is not the same team. And what I was seeing in the last 3 minutes of that game is just you kind of lost your composure a little bit, kind of lost what you guys were trying to do. But it's a learning experience. You got to learn how to win, and these are kind of games you got to close out, and you guys got to win anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, we got three guys out there that actually had the ball at the end of the game, and we just got to figure out, you know, what time and what space and how to get it going there. So, obviously, got cut down the turnovers, but, you know, win's a win. We'll look at the film and get ready for the next one.
Yeah, I like what he said there because there's leadership there from Zach LaVine.
No question.
You see him growing before your very eyes. And so watching the game, it's kind of like what I thought this season would be so far as LaVine getting help. Love that DeRozan got to the foul line, perfect from the foul line. As a matter of fact, the Bulls shot 95% from the line. They only missed one free throw shot. And then from there, looking at the inside presence of Vucevic, which was terrific. Lonzo Ball, he says, we had to get rid of the turnovers. He's talking about Lonzo. Especially late in the game.
Yep.
You know, you're the lead guard. You got to have value of the basketball, especially late in games in that spot.
You've got to value the basketball, and they did not do that late. But when they had to hit the big free throw that Vucevic had to hit late to make it at least a three-point game so you don't get beat on a three. And then the kid from Rockford, Freddie Van Vliet.
Yes.
Who nobody recruited out of high school.
No.
He's in Rockford. Man, whatever. He's chunky. He's not that big. Mm-hmm. He's not a great athlete. He's not a jumper. That guy can play.
Yes, he can.
And he got, even though it was hassled, who was guarding him? Was it Zach?
Yep.
Or did Vooch close out on him? He got a shot off and nearly knocked it down to tie the game.
Vucevic, I believe, on that spot. It was Vucevic.
I mean, you're shooting over a 7-footer.
Yeah.
And he nearly made it.
That was just a weird sequence at the end. So the Bulls so far have defeated three teams that are what I would consider non-playoff teams.
Okay, agreed.
I don't think Toronto's going to make the playoffs, even though I think they're very well coached with Nurse. I mean, I'm not casting any aspersions on Nurse. He's a very good coach.
Very good coach.
But that's a non-playoff team. There's not a lot of star power there anymore. And Detroit twice, and then the Pelicans. Now, you want a measuring stick test? You want to find out how good you are? Here come the Knicks coming up in a couple of days.
Thursday.
Yep.
Yep. And I'm excited to watch that game. Like, it's Packers. Who do the Packers play on?
Cardinals. 7-0 versus 6-1.
Okay. There may not be any Davante Adams, but it's still the Packers.
Hopefully he will play so you get the marquee names in that game.
Correct.
Because that's box office. You don't usually get a good Thursday night game like that.
But I'm more excited about Bulls-Knicks.
Well, second screen experience. Put it on there. See what happens there.
Well, if Adams doesn't play, I can buy that. Listen, it's cool, though. The Bulls are now one of three remaining undefeated teams in the NBA.
And only one in the East.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know what was exciting? You played the Zach LaVine. Hoodie mentioned how he liked hearing the leadership from Zach LaVine. I also really liked watching Kendall Gill in the postgame break down Zach LaVine's defensive effort. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, showing you on the telestrator, you know, the breakdown of, you know, shuffling and making Fred VanVleet have to work for a shot that ultimately ended up him falling out of bounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Kendall made the point, you know, at the Olympics, you know, Zach had to up his level of play because of the players he was playing with. Yeah. And if this is what we're going to get from Zach LaVine going forward, I may be open to changing my mind about him being the guy who can lead you deep into a playoff run.
Well, as far as him being with the team for the long haul, Jeff, he has to, because if LaVine is not with the Bulls, then the Bulls are starting over. If LaVine's not with this team next year, the Bulls are the Pelicans. Or the Bulls are not necessarily as bad as Detroit, but they're a non-playoff team. Let's just put it that way. I'm just happy that there are players around Zach that could be able to score the ball, where it's not just all on him. I always knew that he was dynamic. We could see that, right? But it's one thing to be a dynamic player on a bad team. On a good team, you raise the bar. That's a top eight team we're watching right now.
Well, and the other thing is, Hoodie, you're right, though, but it's that defensive effort. Like, we know Zach can score with the best of them, right?
Yeah.
But, like, if he can do it, you know, just to a competent average level, and right now it's almost like he's even above that. If he can do that on the defensive end, I mean, that's something to be truly excited about.
If you look at this team from Zach's perspective, and you go, they're going to pay me because I think they will, why would you go anywhere else?
Yeah, that's your spot right there.
Well, this city has been starving to win again. Starving. And now you've got this kind of team. I'm just telling you, man, if I'm Zach, okay, I made second team all, whatever it is to get me to that big contract.
Yeah.
You're offering it? In.
Yeah. Last year or the last 10 years, the Bulls would have lost that game last night. They would have found a way to lose the game.
No question.
But in this scenario, they held on and on the road and won the game. Now the Knicks are next. It's a fun product. It's not your father's Bulls. This is a much better outfit because commitment to winning and veteran presence around LaVine.
312-332-3776. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap. Shot or no shot. More of your calls. Don't forget Albert Breer at 835. Be right back. 2 minutes.